Hey guys, I think all of us have been spending a lot more time at home for the last 2.5 months. And you know, when you have a lot of time at home, you think about stuff. And you know what I've been thinking about this week? I've actually been thinking about ketchup. Yes, ketchup. Why ketchup? Because ketchup combines one thing I love with one thing I hate. I love ketchup. I love the taste of ketchup. Ketchup is way better than mustard. It's way better than mayonnaise. It's way better than relish. It is awesome. I love the taste of ketchup. But there's something I hate about ketchup, and that is ketchup is so slow. It is like really, really slow. And I hate waiting for it to come out of the bottle. And they've turned the bottle upside down to make it fast, but it's still not fast enough. What can we do about this? Fortunately for us, ketchup is very slow. 0.028 miles per hour, and even like a tortoise, a Galapagos tortoise, according to the San Diego Zoo, is 0.16 miles per hour. So like a turtle is 6 times faster than ketchup, so it's really slow. But fortunately for us, somebody's coming to our rescue. Researchers and scientists at MIT have come up with a new product called Liquiglide. It is a permanently wet coating applied to solid surfaces that creates much faster flow of liquids over that surface, and it's gonna speed up ketchup. And guys, that is a good thing, because I hate to wait. And I got thinking, is there something in the Bible like Liquiglide? Like, we get tired of waiting on stuff, and is there something in the Bible that could help us to just speed stuff up? And so I looked in my Bible and I found out, no, there's no such thing as Liquiglide in the scriptures. There's no such thing that lets us skip over this waiting. It's just a part of our lives. But there is hope. And I want you to come with me to Psalm 126, to an incredible psalm that gives hope to people who are tired of waiting. And in a lot of areas of life, it's a lot more serious than waiting on ketchup to come out of a bottle. There's all sorts of things that we're tired of waiting on. And the obvious one is the whole pandemic. We not only are the anxieties there and the health threats there and the sorrow of it, but it's just the waiting through it. And when will this end? When will we be able to return to normal? We're tired of waiting on that. Another area that is very heartfelt this week is we're tired of waiting for the end of all the racial violence and the racial tensions and animosity that exist in our nation. And we so long for God to bring love and deliverance, especially to our African-American brothers and sisters in our nation. They're tired of waiting. We're tired of waiting for that kind of justice to come. And there's all sorts of areas of life that we think about. And maybe for you, it's tired of waiting on a breakthrough in your marriage or parenting or a family situation. Or maybe it's a financial matter. Or maybe it's emotional. It's like, this is really hard for you to carry and you're tired and worn out from waiting. Maybe it's a physical health issue. Maybe it's your job or career or your education and it's just hard to wait. Maybe it's a relationship. Like, when will I make a friend? When will I have a relationship with someone? Maybe it's just the pace of life that you're just waiting for it to change. Maybe for all these reasons, you're discouraged or you're fatigued, you feel spent, you feel like a failure perhaps, or you feel like it's useless, or you're feeling aimless or even hopeless. Well, there's good news, because in the scripture we're going to look at right now, Psalm 126, it gives us hope when we're tired of waiting. And although there's no Liquiglide that I can apply and just get you through it fast, there's some great hope in this psalm. So come with me. And I want to give you two things that you can remember when you're tired of waiting that I hope will just encourage you and inspire you to keep on going strong. The first thing is this. When you're tired of waiting, remember God's blessings. Remember God's blessings. The psalmist says, Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter then, and our tongues with shouts of joy. It's interesting that the way forward is actually first to look backward. It's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? The way forward through this waiting time is actually to look backward. To look backward to the ways that God has blessed you in the past. You know, there's a British humorist, cartoonist, his name is Ashley Brilliant, and he said this one time, he says, I can no longer face life, so I've decided to go through it, the rest of it, backwards. Okay? Another place he says, the last time I felt good was at 10 a.m., 9 years ago. So he's longing for this time in the past, but he's on to something, and there actually is hope back there. You see, when he says in verse 1, go back to verse 1 here. He says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. So what he's referring to here, guys, is the days when they returned from the Babylonian exile. Israel had been removed from Jerusalem, removed from Israel, and been off in captivity for 70 years. God finally, after decades of waiting, finally brought them home. And they're recalling those days, and they're saying, wow, when God restored the fortunes of Zion, of Jerusalem, of the people of God, when he reversed it, when he brought that turnaround, when he brought us home, those were good old days. They said, we were like those who dream. It's like we were pinching ourselves. Is this real? After 70 years, could we really be home? Is this a real deal here? And they're like so overwhelmed with joy that they're like, we're dreaming this. Is this real? Sometimes we feel like our situations are just bad. There's nothing that's going right. You ever feel like that? It's like Israel felt like that in exile. It's like everything is going wrong. Years ago, it was actually in my first pastorate in Glenwood, Iowa. I had a day like that. I had an old Datsun 310 GX stick shift, and I was at a gas station. And I pulled up for gas, and when I pulled up, there was another car in front of me, and they hadn't pulled quite far enough ahead, and then they pulled away, and I thought, okay, I don't need to start the car. I'll just depress the clutch, and then that'll roll the car forward, and it'll be fine, and I can just roll into place. And it was on a slight hill, so it was okay. And I did that, and somehow or another, this was an unusual move, and somehow or another, my footwork got messed up, and I didn't hit the brake soon enough, and I actually ran into this truck, this pickup truck in front of me, which had a cast iron bumper that just crushed my little car. And I was like, great. The engine is not even running, and I've had an accident. I've run into a parked car, all right? Fast forward. I'm going around the square in Glenwood, Iowa, and here's a picture of a portion of the square where I was in this little town in southwest Iowa, and you see the cars that are kind of parked diagonally along the road there. There's actually, in Glenwood, there's actually cars on both sides of the square, and so you're kind of going through the middle of them, and cars are parked diagonally. It's a one-way, all right? And so, yeah, great. And I'm going up this little hill again, and suddenly somebody starts pulling out of their parking space. And, okay, wait a minute, I'm coming through, you have to wait to do that. And they keep coming, and they don't stop, and I start laying on the horn, and they keep coming. And actually, they're coming right toward me, they're about ready to crash into me, and I look at the car, and guess what? No one's in the car. There's no driver there. It slipped out of gear and just rolling toward me. And fortunately, it crashed into another car before it crashed into mine. But I'm thinking, what is with my life right now? First, I run into parked cars, and now parked cars are running into me. You ever feel like you had a day like that, like nothing can go right? That's how Israel felt. But looking back and said, remember though, when we were way in captivity for those 70 years, God did something there, and it was like a dream come true. And that's what you got to do in those situations. You got to remember the good times. You got to remember the moments when God came through for you. That joy of reunion. Have you guys watched these military reunions, when they bring somebody, a soldier, a man or woman, back from being away for a really long time, and the joy that is experienced, especially by children and family in those moments, that's what I'm talking about here. Let's check out a couple of those right now, okay?
And we have a special gift.
Isn't that great? You know, it goes back to that scripture I just read. When the Lord restored our fortunes to Zion, he says, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter then, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Can you go back to a time in your life, even though you may be waiting, it's hard right now, can you go back to a time in your life when God came through for you? When he answered a prayer, when he brought you to faith in Jesus, when he had some kind of breakthrough that you needed and he came through, or some unexpected surprise came into your life and you're like, this is great, and you're just overwhelmed with joy. You were really happy and you had these shouts of joy and you're like, thank you, Lord. And sometimes they're little things and sometimes they're big things. I'm going to tell you guys here, we need to remember those times, because not just for nostalgic reasons, but it reminds us of how much joy God can bring into our lives. And then he goes on in this psalm to say, go back, because remembering the past times of God's faithfulness reminds you how much love God can give to you. It says in the end of verse 2, then they said among the nations, when they had this incredible deliverance by God, then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We were joyful. Even outsiders to the people of God said, look what God did for Israel. Isn't he a great God? And they were impressed by how much God loved his people. And the people are like, we're not going to be outdone by these outsiders. Yeah, they're right. God has done great things for us. We were joyful. There was enthusiasm and there was joy in those moments. What I'm talking about here, guys, is more than just the power of positive thinking. I'm not just saying think happy thoughts. Rather, you're looking back to what God has done in your life. And it's a relational thing between you and the Lord. And so you learn from looking back to those times when God came through for you and you saw how much joy he could give you and how much love he could bring to you. You learn things about God in those circumstances and you're reminded of them today. And that is, God knows me. God cares about me. God is able to answer my prayers. God is in control of my life. God keeps his promises, and we were joyful. We were happy because we saw him work, and we saw his love, and we experienced his joy. You need to remind yourselves that in the character of God, he is able to deliver that to you again. When things get hard, and when you're tired of waiting, we've got to remember God and his goodness and love. Not for nostalgia, but to encourage and motivate us in our hard times that better days are ahead of us. Did you ever think about this, guys? The Bible begins by saying, in the beginning. It doesn't start with, like, right now, here's what's happening. It says, in the beginning. It looks backward. And it tells this glorious story of God's creation of the heavens and the earth. And then it talks about the creation of Adam and Eve and this beautiful garden. And it has this incredible story of what God did for his people. And it is the good old days. And we know that those days are right now lost. We're not experiencing those. But the Bible begins with that part of the story to help us have hope for the future, that he's going to eventually bring a renewal of all things. The second thing we do is we seek God's breakthroughs. So we remember God's blessings, and then we seek God's breakthroughs, all right? He says in verse 4, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like watercourses in the Negev." Restore our fortunes, Lord. What does he mean? Turn it around, Lord. Just like you did back when you brought us back captivity, times are hard now. We need you to do that again. We need you to do something incredible and remarkable again. And then they add this phrase, like streams in the Negev. Now, we're not used to that phrase, but they were. What's the Negev? Well, the Negev is the very, very dry, mostly desert in the extreme south of Israel. Negev even means, the word means dry. So it's like the land of dry. And they said, restore our fortunes, Lord, like watercourses or streams in the Negev. The Negev is almost always dry, but a few times a year, there's a tremendous change that happens. And I want you to see just a little video here that just shows you how quickly this change can occur. Check it out. Within hours, it's a torrent, it's a river. It completely transforms this desert land into this lush, and even plants begin to flower, flowers come out. It's an incredible transformation. And that's what you pray in these times when you're tired of waiting. It's like, Lord, restore our fortunes like you do in the Negev, like watercourses in the Negev. And what we're saying here, one writer said it this way, their prayer is that God will restore them like streams in the Negev, such a vivid picture, because at certain seasons, when there's rainfall in the Negev, it becomes an abundant, rushing stream. And in a few hours, what was a dry riverbed is transformed into an overflowing, torrential river that sweeps everything before it. All obstacles are taken away. So in just a few hours, previously, there was nothing but dust and dryness, and now there's a rushing torrent. And their inspired prayer, recorded for us in Psalm 126, is that God would restore his people like those watercourses in the Negev, that though we've been dry and dusty, without much evidence of living water, suddenly God is going to visit us and send such a powerful visitation of the Holy Spirit that it will be like a rushing torrent that will sweep away all the obstacles and totally transform us. That's why Jesus said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will, those who believe in me, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, because out of you will flow rivers of living water from within you. By this he meant the Holy Spirit. So we pray for this. Lord, change my heart. Sometimes God changes the circumstances, and sometimes God changes me. We don't know which he'll do or a combination, but that's what we pray. We pray for spiritual breakthroughs. We pray for breakthroughs in circumstances. So can you begin to pray? Whatever that circumstance you're experiencing right now, can you begin to pray for God to break through like streams in the Negev and bring transformation that seems impossible, but God can do it. He goes on in verse 5, those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Wow. In other words, this is the way God operates. You always plant before a harvest. You cannot have a harvest without planting. And he says here, you're sowing with those prayers, and by your perseverance, you're sowing. And it's with tears. You're actually watering the seeds of perseverance and obedience and faithfulness, you're sowing those prayers and you're watering them, sometimes even with your tears. Those who sow with tears will reap with shouts of joy. That's a promise from God's word. You sow in tears, you will reap with shouts of joy. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but always in that order. Sow with tears, reap with joy. There are good times, there are hard times, but sowing pays off. There is reaping with joy. Verse 6, though one goes along weeping, it's a hard time, it's a difficult time, carrying the bag of seed, but you're not just doing nothing. You're sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds of prayer. You're sowing seeds of following Jesus. You're sowing seeds of patience. You're sowing seeds of remembering to do the right thing. You're sowing the seeds of sharing with others your hope that you have in Jesus. The one goes along weeping, carrying the bag of seed. He will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves. Waiting is hard. Biblically speaking, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Rather, waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. But it's not passive. It's not just waiting for things to change. It's waiting on God's faithfulness and sowing the seeds through generosity, through faithfulness, through prayer, through fellowship, through worship, sowing the seeds, sometimes with tears. And he says, you keep on doing that. You're not just remembering the blessings of the past, but you're seeking breakthroughs from God. He will come through for you. He will bring you shouts of joy. You will reap with shouts of joy. There is a day coming. And guys, I need to tell you this. I found this to be so true in my life. I've been a follower of Jesus for a really pretty long time, like 40 years plus. And I've had some things that really burdened me and I waited a really long time for, but I just kept praying. You know, recently Ruth and I have gone through this. You know, back actually this weekend, it's been 9 months since Ruth's surgery to remove that cancerous tumor. And good news today, guys, is Ruth is still cancer-free. And she was in a wheelchair for 7 long months. And the last 2 months, she's been using a walker. Here's a great picture of the awesome Ruth Steve. And she's got a smile on her face and a great spirit. Well, we've been sowing. We haven't been just passive. We've been sowing, sometimes with tears, asking God for breakthroughs, not just physically, but just spiritually in every way. And God's bringing those about. He's helping us see remarkable things that we could have never done had we not gone through this journey. And now, in the recent days, with the restrictions being lifted, Ruth has been able to return to her physical therapy, and now she's doing more walking in that walker. And even this week, she just started in the early days of using a cane. And that may not seem like much to you, but after 9 months, it's a really big breakthrough. And we're smiling, and we're having joy. Guys, I think of other things in my life that are much, much longer prayers than that. I came to know Jesus in 1979 in a personal way. I was raised in a church, so grateful for that. But in a personal way, I came into this relationship with Jesus in 1979. And one of the very first prayers of my heart is that my mother and my father would both experience the grace of Jesus. They knew the law of God, but they had not really experienced personally the love of God. And I prayed for that. And I want you to know that I sowed with tears, prayerful, sorrowful tears, for more than 30 years. But around the year 2006, my father came to faith in Jesus. And around the year 2011, my mom came to a personal faith in Jesus. They had always believed in Jesus. But to know him in a personal sense and experience the love of God in a powerful way, I'm telling you guys, it was worth 30 years of sowing in tears because I reaped with shouts of joy. I did. And you will too. This past few days, our nation has, our whole world has experienced the loss of an incredible Christian man. His name is Ravi Zacharias. Ravi was a writer, an author, an incredible man who went all over the world defending the Christian faith and incredible ways sharing the good news of Jesus. But about 10 days ago, he died of cancer. And a lot of people have made tribute to him. But I just want to show you just a clip as he shares from his heart the gospel of Jesus. Because really, guys, this is about the gospel. Ultimately, this sowing in tears and reaping with shouts of joy is the story of the gospel. It's Jesus sowing in tears, the grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying for us and then being raised, and we're the first fruits of that harvest. I want to show to you this brief clip of Ravi Zacharias as he brings the message of Jesus.
I sometimes think about the cross and shut my eyes and try to see the cruel nails, the crown of thorns, and Jesus crucified for me. But even could I see him die, I would but see a little part of that great love which, like a fire, is always burning in his heart. You are valuable to God. You are unique and a composite fashioned in the image of God for a particular purpose. What it means to be human is to be created in the image of God. What it means to find your destiny is to find your Creator, who has created you and why he has made you for a purpose. So in general terms, the Imago Dei, in particular terms, it's not who you are alone that defines you, but whose you are. That is my prayer. To me, the person of Jesus Christ provides that coherent answer in the incarnation. He identifies my malady, provides for my malady, draws me into that relationship, takes me through the process of suffering, shows me the purity of Jesus himself in the way he taught and lived. And ultimately, in rising again from the dead, he teaches me that time is merely a temporal thing. We are here for eternity, and he alone is able to take us through the cross, past the open tomb, into the very presence of God. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. There is no other worldview that will give you corresponding and coherent answers to the four questions of life with logic consistency, empirical adequacy, and experiential relevance. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except. He describes your heart. He provides for your malady. He equips you in suffering. He puts meaning into every moment in history. And he conquers death through the resurrection from the grave. Surrender to him. Love him. Follow him. Serve him. Live for him. And take his message wherever you go.
Guys, can you pray with me right now? Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. I pray for every person who hears this message, who has some area in their life that they've been waiting and they're weary and they feel like giving up. And I pray, oh God, that you will speak to them in a powerful way. Yes, Lord. And that you would work this incredible turnaround, and that they will patiently wait upon you and seek you. Remember the blessings of the past, but then look forward to the breakthroughs in the future. And for all of us, Lord, to look ultimately to Jesus, the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great rest of your day.